Hey, influencer, welcome back to part two of our interview with Joel Kahn. And in case if you missed part one yesterday, you will definitely want to go back because he just shared so much gold about PR and how he got his iPhone app to rank number one in the world, all kinds of marketing gold. And today in part two, you'll get to hear how he got Apple to reverse their denial of approving one of his other iPhone apps, and really what you can expect from your PR campaigns. We also talked about just how important is consistency in your content media strategy when building a brand, and how to decide what to outsource. Joel also shared how he set up his iPad app for his podcast and how he uses direct mail in his high-tech business. We also talked about how he manages juggling multiple projects and what cloud is used for internally at progressive companies. So without any further ado, here's Joel Kahn. This is Esther Kish.
And this is Meta Muller.
And you just caught the latest episode of Born to Influence, the marketing show. So if you can identify, for example, different segments of your audience, you might have some very techy people, but then it's possible that you also have somebody who is a little bit low tech, but they would be just as interested in having your product. Would you pick a different angle, a different type of story, and go to a different type of media to pitch another type of press release there?
Sure, you can do as many different angles as you have time for and ideas for. Usually I'll hit one thing at a time and focus on that. If I believe that this is a really special, unique angle and that it's going to hit, there's only so many hours in the day. You know, unless you have a publicist on staff that's their job and that's all they're doing, then you really just need to go for the home run. And that's what I do. I lock and load for the big hit, and then I swing. And mm-hmm. It either works or it doesn't. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't work, then I go back and I go, okay, do I believe in this strongly enough that I want to take a different approach? For example, another application I created is called the Ka-ching button. So this is a Ka-ching button.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I made these. They went along with my book, which is called Ka-ching. I created, again, this in itself is a story. So I created this this device to go along with the promotion of my book, Ka-ching. And I think the cat likes it, actually. Yeah, she's into that.
There you go.
And when the book came out, I sent these buttons to members of the media and friends and associates, and they're like, this is the best thing ever, because it stands out. It's not another T-shirt. You know, it's not another pen with a logo on it.
It's lumpy mail. Let's just call it what it is. It's lumpy mail, indirect mail.
It is. It's something people like. Well, I made an application of the same name, and I submitted it to the App Store, and it got rejected by Apple. They said in their email that it had limited user functionality. So I could have given up and said, all right, we need to put more features in the app, or we just need to give up on it. And instead, what I did is I went right to the top. This is back in 2009 or 10, and I thought, let's make a video directly to Steve Jobs that appeals to him. And so I put together a very humorous video that illustrated how there were other apps in the App Store that had the same type of functionality, like the Hallelujah button. All you did is push it and it's like Hallelujah. Another one was called Knock on Wood. It's a picture of wood and you tap it and it's like, that's all it did. And so we created this humorous video, and then I put out a press release to TechCrunch saying that I was appealing to Steve Jobs with this video. Well, they posted it on their website, and it got over 50,000 views, and a week later the app was approved. So it was a different angle, a different approach. It was humorous. It went right for right for the belly of the beast, and it created a story around it. It wasn't about the button at all. It was about Apple's approval process and how developers didn't know what to expect. Is it worth putting our time and money into this, or is the approval process so arbitrary that we don't know whether or not it's going to get in? So I thought I would go right to Steve Jobs himself, and I like to believe, well, I don't know for sure, I like to believe that he saw the video.
I was about to ask you if you know.
I don't know. Maybe I'll meet somebody at Apple one day that will tell me, because I would love to hear the rest of the story.
So what can we expect here? I mean, when we're starting with media and getting out there and so forth, what should our expectations be? Is it just throwing spaghetti on the wall, crossing our fingers, and hoping something will stick? Or, you know, should we expect to be working really, really, really hard to get our stories noticed, or what should our expectations be?
I think the answer to all of that is yes. I think it varies. For me, it's very depending upon the project. There's some things that it was very low risk for me to do, like creating that video. Creating the app didn't cost a lot. It was just the button, ka-ching, right? And when it got rejected, I could have let it go without, you know, much fanfare, but I thought, let's make a story out of this. This is fun. Now that they've rejected it, I actually have a bigger story than the app was itself. So it's turning those lemons into lemonade and making something of it. When the Pull My Finger people said that they threatened to sue me because I used their phrase and knocked them off the charts, I thought, this is great. Let's go public. I'm going to countersue them. We're going to put out a story about it. And it ended up getting media attention all over the world. And it even got the Jon Stewart's Daily Show did a story on the whole legal matter, the whole legal stink.
Wow.
And so, you know, what to expect? Is it just throwing things up against the wall? As entrepreneurs, we take risks. That, you know, if you don't have the wherewithal to say, I'm willing for this to fail, if it doesn't go the way I want to, then you're in the wrong business. And because I've got a mindset that says, you know what, I'm going to give this my best shot, but if it fails, I've got a bunch of other ideas I'm going to try, that makes it easy to just relax into it and roll with the punches. And when opportunity arises, then you can either do something with it or you can neglect it and move on to the next thing. There is no one single formula to success, but I think the willingness to take risks and the willingness to fail and try something else are key components of those that are successful.
And when you first started talking about getting media attention, I noticed that you also said that, well, if it's not a big hit and I need to go back to the drawing board, I evaluate whether this is even something I believe in strong enough that I want to continue with trying to get attention for it.
Right.
So I'm wondering, what are some of the rookie mistakes that people might make when they're continuing, whether it's a non-viable product that the market doesn't really want, or maybe they just keep taking the wrong angle even though they could be getting that attention? What are some of the things that people do wrong here?
Well, I think, first of all, you really have to care about what it is that you're doing. And I see so many people just chasing money. They just see opportunity. Yeah. For example, I'll refer back to again because it's a great example. When iFur came out, there had to be 200 copycat apps that came out next. People just trying to jump on the train and get a piece of the fame that we got. Well, it didn't work for them because they didn't have a story to go with it. They were just saying, me too. And so a lot of people just chase after a buck. And that some every now and then, just like anything else, every now and then you can get lucky and hit it doing that. But, you know, you may as well go buy a lottery ticket. That's usually just not how it works. It works from being innovative and creative and finding a unique solution for people that, you know, something that's not been done before, building the better mousetrap where it's done better, and you have to care about it. If you don't care about it, then the odds are nobody else is going to.
Yeah, exactly. And the odds are you're not going to work particularly hard to actually get it out there, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
I noticed that
this is great. Two lovely ladies at once.
I noticed a video that you put out recently on your Google Plus profile, and it was about take a walk with me. And you were just talking about the things that happened that day and literally taking the camera with you and took us along for a walk.
Just like this.
Yeah.
So I want to know whether that is something that you do as you feel like, oh, I just want to take a video, I want to involve my audience here, or is it part of a bigger strategy and you know that, well, I'm doing five of these a month or however often?
Oh. Wait. Yeah, that's too organized for me. I don't even know what I'm doing today, let alone tomorrow. I mean, I know I had this interview on my calendar and, you know, one other thing, but I really enjoy the entrepreneurial lifestyle. I work at home. My commute is 12 steps down the stairs, and I fly by the seat of my pants. I get done what I need to do. If I have a presentation to do, I'll usually do it a day or two before I'm set to give it, because I work well under pressure, knowing that it needs to be done. And I think throughout my day, that's just kind of how I roll. So I don't have a plan for Walking with Joel. I think I've done 6 or 7 videos. I don't shoot them every day. It's like when I Facebook or I tweet or shoot videos. I do it when I have something to say. If I don't have something to say, the people don't need to hear me just blah, blah, blah. What, you know, if there's no meaning to it and no purpose, no direction, then what's the point? Now, even if I post a ridiculous picture on Twitter, like I just did, if you look at my Twitter stream, there's a picture of me wearing a chicken head mask. And it says, don't judge me. And it's because I wanted to express myself. And I think and being a chicken was the way to do it. No, I wanted, you know, I want people to see I'm fun, I'm silly, I'm just a guy, you know, working out of his home, coming up with ideas, doing what comes naturally to me. And my hope is people see how authentic we are, right? When I'm shooting those videos and I'm out walking and sharing thoughts, it's like, you know what, if this guy can do it, I can do it too. And I believe that. I believe that everybody's got that divine spark in them, and they've got their passions that, you know, that are God-given, and they've got these skills and talents, abilities, and personality that make them so unique. And when you tune into that message that you have at your core, then you're doing what you were made to do, and you have to share it. Whatever it is, wherever it's coming from, if it's real, you need to be real and share it. And I think that's what draws people.
Fantastic. So that was something I wanted to mention too. The episode that I saw about Walking with Joel, it was so heartfelt, and you really didn't feel scripted. It just felt like it's something that you wanted to share your thoughts literally as you were walking. And so I'm wondering, is that something that you infuse in your overall marketing, or is it particularly for videos, or how do you make use of that to really make sure that your personality comes across? Because some of the things that you do are very tech-driven, right? And so they are not, like, for example, the AdSense book or even the app. It's not something that, you know, there's a whole lot of I can share myself with it. So where's the balance, and how do you manage that?
Well, there's, you know, when I have something that I believe is valuable to teach, I remove my personality, except I kind of write like I speak to some degree. But I give people the meat. Here's how you do this. But from a personal perspective, I am who I am. This is all I got to work with. This is the raw material. And so how do I just be me? Well, I feel like shooting a video. I shoot a video. I want to tweet. I tweet. When I blog because I have something I want to say. I don't have a blogging schedule. I'm not one of those guys that blogs every day. Sometimes there's a week that passes that I don't write anything. Other days, I'll write several times that week. But it's not forced. It's what fits in my lifestyle. See, one of the problems with all these tools and strategies and technologies is if we're not careful, they begin to tell us how to live. The social media becomes a tyrant. You must tweet X times a day. You must post on Facebook. You have to be using Google Plus. If you're not Instagramming, you're crazy. And I refuse to live that way. I am a big proponent of social media. I know the benefits, and I use it, and I teach others how to use it. But I'm the master of my life. I'm going to be the one that determines how I use it, not how it uses me. And so this applies to everything, how many videos I shoot, how many tweets, and how often, and Facebook, and which sites I use, and how often I blog. You know, my lifestyle is important to me. And I like flying by the seat of my pants. I like creating content and bringing value where I see opportunities to do so. I like to help other people and inspire them, but I'm not going to be at the mercy of people shooting on me. You know, don't let anybody shoot on you. You should be doing this. You should be doing that. Doesn't work for me.
And this is also something that reminds me of Derek Halpern, because he, you know, he writes from social media
he writes the his newsletter only every once in a while when he has something to say. It might be right. 2 times a week, but sometimes you don't hear him from him for so long. Sometimes I'm like, am I on his list? Maybe he scraped me out. You know. So what do you have to say to those people who really believe in the school of thought that, well, you have to be consistent because your audience is expecting something from you, whether it's weekly or daily or however you set up initially the expectations, that you really need to stick to that?
If your goal is to build a business and a brand, right, if that is your primary goal, then that's probably really good advice. That's not my primary goal. My primary goal is to enjoy my life and live a lifestyle that fits with who I am. And part of who I am is wanting to inspire people and wanting to bring value to them and create products and services. But that's not everything that I am. I value my other relationships. I value my children and my friends, my social life. I value my downtime. I value opening up my iPad and playing games. I live the way that's naturally for me. So sound business advice, to blog regularly, to email your list regularly, to use all these social media sites, sure. If that's what you want and that fits with your lifestyle and you're happy doing that, then I'm not going to should on you and tell you that you shouldn't.
But it
has to be up to you. You get to decide, you know, whether you're going to control what you do, why you do it, how often you do it, and who you're doing it to and for, or it's going to control you.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Let's inspire people a little bit here in terms of the entrepreneurial lifestyle. What is a, and I don't even know if normal is the right word to use here, but what does a normal day in Joel Comm's life look like?
Every day is different. It really is. Now, there's similarities to it in that I'm on my computer, right, mm-hmm. and I eat, and usually I'll socialize, but what I'm doing on my computer, on a PC, you alt-tab between applications, right? Mm-hmm. That's what lets you scroll through. That's how I view my day. I alt-tab mm-hmm. through my day. And you never know, on one day I might be meeting a friend for lunch or coffee, another one I might be going out for dinner, another one I might be conducting a podcast interview or a Google Hangout, I might be writing a book, I could be getting on an airplane to speak somewhere, or working on a presentation, exploring a joint venture, answering email, posting on social media. It's just, and it sounds like a lot, but I can only do one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all I can do at a time, and I'm not going to try to do more than that because putting that kind of pressure. So when we're done with this interview today, I've got a few minutes before I'm going to go in and get trained by the Google Help Out people. Before you can do your first help out, they actually walk through the technology with you, which I think is brilliant. What does the rest of my day look like? No idea. But as soon as I'm done with that training, I'm going to find out because I'm going to do something. And it might be something off my to-do list that I feel like I have to do. And it's Saturday, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Saturday, Monday, Friday, Tuesday, they're all the same to us, right?
Yeah.
And my doors open when I get up, get out of bed, decide to get busy. And my doors close when I say I've had enough for the day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go do something else. I know that doesn't work for everybody. Some people need a lot more structure. Mm-hmm. And I'm not that guy. And it's okay that you are. It's not me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
So it sounds like you mentioned that well, I'm only one person, and you alluded to outsourcing a little bit before regarding developing the iPhone apps. So how do you determine what is it that you have to do yourself and what is it that somebody else can do?
Well, as an entrepreneur, I usually have the creative ideas for what it is that I want to do. I get to decide what my business looks like and what content and software and products and services I'm going to create, what value I want to bring. So if it comes to writing copy, for emails I can do some, but if I really need a copywriter, I'm going to find a copywriter. If I need somebody to set up a site, I know myself well enough to know that I can set up a basic WordPress site, mm-hmm. but if I want it to look nice, and function properly, I'm going to hire somebody to do it. Same thing with graphic design. I'm not going to be the guy to do that. So whatever the components are that are not my giftedness, not my area of talent, I'm going to find somebody else to do it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love that.
I'll just mess it up. You know, it's not worth it.
Might as well get an expert to do it. Joel, tell us about the Joel Comm Show.
Joel Comshow is my podcast. It's actually, I've done a number of different shows over the years. I've done a live Ustream show, and previously I had a podcast on webmasterradio.fm, and this fall I started the new Joel Com show, and the format is different. Occasionally I'll do some interviews, but mostly it's just me sharing my current thoughts on life and business. You know, it's inspirational, it's educational, hopefully it's entertaining, and it's gotten a really good reception. So far we've got 5-star ratings on the iTunes, so you can just go look up the Joel Com Show, and there's even an app for that now where you can get all the episodes on there. I think I'm up to episode 19, and there's a new show every week.
Fantastic.
So there's an app for your show, just, or are you talking about the, okay.
Yep, there's actually, you want a visual?
That's smart.
Because there's an iPad
let's
version for it. And let's see. All right, hang on. I'm pulling it up. Don't pressure me. Don't pressure me. It doesn't.
Don't you shoot me.
Don't shoot on me. So this is the Joel Com Show app right here, and it launches, and then you can pick an episode and just begin to play it.
That is very smart.
Let's see. Where's here we go.
And so.
So you can actually look at all the episodes are right here.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
All right, so, I'll shut me up. There we go.
I'm wondering, when you connect this, just a very geeky, techy question, when you connect this, is it connecting to your iTunes directly so that your downloads count to the overall iTunes downloads, or is it a separate feed?
No, it's directly connected. Yeah.
Fantastic. This is so genius. You're so smart.
I use Libsyn. People say that. I don't know that I am. I play with the toys, and I surround myself with smart people. Here's my motto. Surround yourself with smart people doing cool things.
I like that.
Yeah. Right? So
that's
I found
a great idea.
The right service for me was Libsyn.com, Liberated Syndication. They host a lot of the big podcasts. I thought I need a reliable hosting company. And for an extra $10 a month, I was able to have my own app. Both for the iOS and Android version.
Oh,
and
you built it through Libsyn? I saw that because we are using Libsyn too. Is that why you built it?
Yeah, so they give you the specs and tell you we need these graphics and these different sizes, and you give them to them, and then they create the app, and you have to have a developer account in both with Apple and in the Android marketplace, and they put them in your account.
Ah, that's genius.
I'm not so smart. I just find people who are. They make me look good. So that people like you think I'm smart.
Putting the entire thing together, that's the genius part. So, do accept the compliment.
I receive the compliment, yes.
Joel, I noticed that you're using so many different things, like first of all the apps and the really high-tech things and then the personal, the through the videos and Walk With Me and all those things, and you write and you speak. You also use quite a bit of direct mail. And just as an example, we talked about the catching button that you are sending out to editors in the media, but also when we set up this interview initially, you asked me immediately for my address and you sent me a card that was a postcard about the things that you're up to as well as a handwritten note. So I want to know exactly like that. So let's just bring that up because you were not on the screen. 1 second. Can you show it one more time, please? That's the kind of card that you're sending out.
Yeah, it's got my picture here and a little bit about me and where to find me and my brand, and then my books are here, and then there's this space right here, and I have my handy Sharpies, and I like to, you know, I think points of connection are important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're so used to just jotting off an email that says, nice to meet you, thanks, looking forward to connecting. I like putting forth that little extra effort to let people know, I'm really glad we connected, I do care about you, and if I can write a little encouraging note on there that just make people feel like, you know, he took an extra minute. So I've got envelopes and cards and stamps and return address labels right here, and I just, when I meet somebody, I want them to know I value the fact that we got to meet each other, and if there's anything I can do to bring value, I'm here.
Yeah, absolutely. And your picture, even a stamp has your picture on it and everything, so all those things did not go unnoticed here. But what I really want to know is, how do you create this right mix of, okay, high-tech versus snail mail? or what are some of the other things that you really bring into what that you need to have on an ongoing basis because it's part of your business?
Well, it depends who you talk to. See, what you're looking for is a template, and
templates.
Right, and I understand, and some people like that. Well, this card is actually a template, and it's not my idea. Kevin Knebel, who is a LinkedIn expert, after we met, he sent me a card, and I thought, this is brilliant. And so I said, Kevin, let's go sit down and have lunch, get to know each other. So we built a relationship, and he's a friend of mine now. And he said, Joel, it wasn't my idea. I got this from Bob Berg, you know, who wrote The Go-Giver.
Right.
And this was in a book of Bob's. It's called, what's it? I can't remember the name of the book. I'm sorry, you're looking at the back of my head, but I'm looking at my bookshelf. I can't remember it offhand, but it's about...
Without Intimidation?
No, that's the new one. It's about sales. And Bob says in his book, here's something that I use to connect with people. And as time has gone by and technology has become so much a part of the fabric of our lives, people have neglected physical mail and writing letters.
I know.
And it really resonated with me. I thought, this is great. This got my attention. I want to start doing this. And so I took action immediately. And one of the first people I sent a card to was Kevin Knebel and Bob Berg. And both of them, they got it. They like, you're awesome. You move. And that's the thing that I like to do, is when there's something that interests me, I'm in. So when I finish looking at help outs today and going through this, I'm putting up a help out. And this week I'm probably going to dedicate a few hours of my time to do nothing but testing help outs with people who will pay for 15 minutes of my time to talk. And let's kick the tires on this thing. Let's see if it really works. Let's see if we can bring value through paid one-on-ones over, you know, help outs. And I like to jump in. I'm like a kid in a candy store. I want to play. This is his new toy. And some people would say it's bright, shiny object syndrome. And to some degree it is, but it makes me happy. So what's the difference?
I love it.
I was about to ask, what is the difference, actually? Because bright, shiny object syndrome, I think what lies in that is that it is dangerous or that it gets you stuck, but it sounds like it moves you forward. So what are you doing differently than other people who get stuck in bright, shiny object syndrome?
Well, I think there's some degree of focus in that I do have projects that I don't move one thing forward at a time. I've got... Mm-hmm. 10 to 12 plates spinning right now, maybe more. And I just have a knack for knowing when one of them needs to be spun up. And I'm also very patient. There's projects that I wish they were all done yesterday. I wish they were launched and out there. But I'm realistic and know that they can't be. And so I'm willing to wait until they're ready. And if that means this programmer's not going to have it for another month, okay. Well, I'm not going to think about that right now. If it means my presentation isn't until February, I don't have to worry about that right now, but I've got it booked and I've got my deposit and I'm good to go. There's some things that you can move forward fast. For example, these cards. I decided I wanted to do the card. I immediately went on to a website to hire a graphic designer to get it done. Got it done. Sent them over to the print shop. Before you know it, I've got 500 of them in the closet behind me. And it just depends what you're interested in. And I know that doesn't help the people who have one thing that they're working on. And if you're really focused on one thing and the bright, shiny objects are a distraction from your core project, then you have to learn to train yourself to ignore them. Or give yourself permission to take just a little time to play with that thing on the side. If it's going to bug you and bug you because you're not doing it, all right, be human, have some fun, play with it, and you'll know pretty soon whether or not it's going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
I give you permission.
Mm-hmm. No shitting.
All right, so I'm wondering, you mentioned a couple of books here, Bob Berg's Go-Giver and the book about selling as well, which we'll look up and definitely link up in the show notes. What would be some other books that you would recommend for people who are looking to grow their business through marketing?
You know, I think I mentioned Clout earlier in the conversation, because this is one of those things that I've been tracking for a few years, and it's hitting a place right now where before I thought it would be important, now I know it's important. And more and more we're moving into the age of influence marketing, where it's not just celebrities that are getting paid to share about products or services with the public. It's anybody that's influential in their particular niche. Mm-hmm. And more companies are looking for the people who can share their message and reach their customers in an influential way. And this is why clout matters. And there's actually a new book. My friends Gina Carr and Terry Brock wrote it. It's called Clout Matters. And I really recommend that people, you know, stop dissing clout and thinking, oh, it's just vanity, that number doesn't mean anything. I'm going to tell you, if you haven't heard it, you're going to hear it here first. You're wrong. Clout is important. It's going to get more and more important. In fact, Mark Schaefer just posted on Facebook the other day that he was at Dell's, I can't remember what, Dell World or whatever it is they call their annual thing where they're talking with their products and their investors and what their messaging is, and they revealed to him that they're using clout scores internally for hiring, that it matters how influential people are in certain positions. And more and more perks are coming to people with higher clout scores. It's going to get more and more relevant. So I'm jumping off my clout soapbox for the moment, but that book is an important one.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. And Joel, unfortunately, our time is almost up here, and I definitely want to be respectful of your time here, but I want to ask one thing that we always ask from every guest, and that is, how can we become more influential through our marketing?
Well, I think you have to be focused on that thing that you're all about, right? If you're not focusing on the thing that drives your passions, if you're not using your talents, skills, abilities, and your personality to bring value to the world around you, you might be focused on the wrong thing. But assuming you have those components in place, being influential starts with being a giver. It's about sharing content, and it's about sharing yourself. It's about putting it out there so that you're not so concerned about what you're getting back, but that people know that you care. Ziegler said it years ago, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And he also said, you get what you want when you help enough other people get what they want. So if you take on the heart of a servant that says, you know what, there's a lot of people out there with a lot of need, and I have value to bring, here's the mechanism and the vehicle that I'm going to use to bring it, and a large part of that is going to be through who I am, because we are the greatest gift we can give to anybody else, is giving of ourselves. I think that is really the key. And you sow a lot of seed. You put it out there. You know, I've been on a sabbatical for a couple of years, most of 2011, 2012. I was on a semi-sabbatical. I let go of my entire team. I went through some personal transformation, both physically, emotionally, spiritually. And 2013 has been a year of just reconnecting with people, getting back out there again, doing a lot of podcast interviews. I've got a new book out there. Connecting with old friends, making new friends, going to events, I think is key. It's really, for me, it's a must, because there's nothing like face-to-face interaction. And you discover that the seeds that you've sown, if you've planted goodwill and done good things along the journey, people respect you and they want to work with you. And that's why I think 2014 is going to be the best year yet.
Fantastic. So, Joel, can you tell us a little bit about the new book, what it is, where can we find it, and where can we find out more about you as well? If people want to connect with you, learn from you, learn more about you, where do they go?
So, the new book is called So What Do You Do? Discovering the Genius Next Door with One Simple Question. You can find it right here on my desk. But you could also go to the bookstore, Amazon.com, and get a copy of it.
I'm coming to your desk, too bad.
Come on over, Esther. If you come over, I will hand you a copy and sign it for you personally.
After Denver, we go.
So, boy, you threw me there. So if you go to sowhatdoyoudo.com, go and buy the book at Amazon, but buy the physical book, and then when you come to the site, you put your receipt number in, and you get a free digital copy, and two of my other books are free gifts from me to you, the AdSense code, and click here to order. And so it's a lot of reading material for just a few dollars, and it's if you'll think of the book as chicken soup for the soul meets the entrepreneur. So it's inspirational, mm-hmm. and yet people share, there's 46 co-authors that share their message and their passions and what the value that they bring, and so there's a lot that you can learn from the book as well. And to learn more about me, I'm the only Joel Com in the world. Yes, Com is my mm-hmm. real name. It's not a stage name, C-O-M-M. You would think I got royalties every time somebody registered a .com, but I do not. I have a problem with that. I know, poor me. If you go to joelcom.com, you find me there. And if you're interested in being in my inner circle, I have not yet opened it up to the general public. So this is I've not talked a lot about it, but joelcominnercircle.com, and you can kind of walk with me on my journey and find out what's next.
Fantastic. Amazing. Thank you. Thank you so much, Joel. We really, really enjoyed this interview, and I know our influencers will just love it and have to go back to listen to it over and over again because there were so many gems here. So thank you so much. We really, really appreciate your time.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I'll finish by saying this. Everybody on Hangouts should have a hat. I think that the fact that they're there means we're supposed to have one. So, ladies, you need to put a hat on.
Oh my God. Okay, hold on.
Everybody needs a hat.
I need to put my little settings thingy.
You go over to the left and you click the Google Effects. It's the yellow one with the white stars.
Okay, yellow.
And then that brings
the
them up. And then you just click on the hat of your choice.
You know, when we first started using Hangouts, that's all we did, and now it's been a little while, and I forgot how to do it. Hold on. Ooh, look at that.
Oh, yes.
No, that was okay. The halo there from Matt. Good. And cat eyes. Excellent.
All right. And so for those of you guys who are listening on iTunes, you'll just have to come at some point to check out this video at borntoinfluence.com/Joel Com. Perfect.
Thanks, ladies.
Thank you.
That concludes part two of this interview with Joel Com. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I know I learned so much from Joel. And I want to invite you. We have a brand new community on Facebook for you, Influencer, to hang out with other listeners of the show and with us as well. So you can get there in one of two ways. You can either type into your browser, borntoinfluencecommunity.com, or if you happen to be on Facebook right now, just type in the search bar, Born to Influence Community, and it will take you to that group directly where you can request access, we can approve you, and we'll get to hang out there together. And otherwise, I will see you with a brand new interview tomorrow, same time, same place.